going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, 97.5, The Fanatic from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. It's Tuesday night. Hope you're all having a great day. Heard from the Eagles head coach, Doug Peterson, about 2 hours ago with Mike. We'll get to that coming up very shortly. Get your reaction on that. Remember, the rest of the week after today, we'll be doing shows from San Francisco for sight of Super Bowl 50. Jaws and I tomorrow. Adam Kaplan and I later in the week as well. Jaws, me and Adam all mixing in different days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we got a lot up ahead as we look forward to Carolina and Denver in the Super Bowl. Should be fun to make the trip and do some shows from out there. Obviously looking to bring you great guests the rest of the week. But a great guest today as far as the first time we've heard from him on the station. He is now the guy running the show, at least for the team, maybe not into the front office, obviously. But he is the guy running the show for the Eagles football team, Doug Peterson. And he was on with Mike about 2 hours ago. I want to give you an opportunity to hear it. We'll dissect it all. We'll break it all down. I will tell you this. I thought Peterson did pretty well. I thought he came off fairly strong. Thought he had some pretty good command. He's got one disaster answer in here. You'll hear it. You'll know it when you hear it. I mean, the guy, man, he just doesn't give an inch. It's like, dude, come on. You got to move off that one. You'll know which topic I'm talking about when you hear it. But in general, I thought Doug Peterson acquitted himself pretty darn good, and I thought he came off good, but he's got to let this one thing go. Anyway, listen to this. As you hear things, dial in. We'll hit the calls when it's over. Here's Doug Peterson with Mikey Miss today.
How's your life changed now as a head coach? What this, all this whirlwind activity that you're going through, it's day after day after day.
I tell you what, it hasn't slowed down any. It's like every day is a different adventure, but I'm enjoying it, kind of getting settled in, and looking forward to the days ahead.
All right, let's look forward to the days ahead, because it has been announced by the Eagles that they're not going to hire this pro personnel guy until after the draft, which makes it a two-man operation, as far as I can see right now, between you and Howie Roseman. How is this going to work out?
Well, we still got Tom Donahoe. Tom is still here, and we got all our pro personnel department and all our coaches, and we're in the evaluation process right now. So, you know, we got a lot of hands on deck going forward into the draft.
All right, and the million-dollar question, of course, and it hasn't been really answered yet, is who has final say? It's one thing to say a collaborative effort works, but at the end of the day, if you don't have a consensus, who are you going to go with?
Well, if you heard Jeffrey Lurie, you know, in his press conference, he came out basically and said that it was, you know, that he had the final say on a lot of decisions. So, you know, I think when we get to free agency and we get to the draft and you know, it becomes a little easier when you got all the hands and you got all the information and you know, you're making those decisions. I think it becomes, you know, a unanimous decision one way or the other.
So you think it's just going to work it out by itself? I mean, it's a kind of a pie-in-the-sky way of looking at it, and things are going to work. I mean, Jeffrey Lurie, with all due respect, is not going to make the difference between an offensive tackle you want or somebody Howie wants.
Well, that's true. That's true. And it comes down to the football guys. It also comes down to Jeff Stoutland and his expertise with offensive line. And you got to listen to your position coaches. They're the ones, they're the professionals in the room. And you take their evaluations as well.
What did you take from your first press conference in Philadelphia? You came here, you were thrown to the wolves. A lot of people had a lot of questions they asked you. Were you prepared for that moment?
Totally prepared, 100%. You know, Derek Boyko prepared me. My agent prepared me. You know, my experiences with this media market and the fans have prepared me. And I sat behind one of the best guys, and Andy Reid. He prepared me. So, you know, I had a lot of guys that were, you know, went in front of me to you know, give me this opportunity and also to prepare me for those situations.
What did Andy Reid tell you about handling Philly fans, and what does that even mean, handling Philadelphia fans?
Well, I just think you got to understand the passion of the group and passion of the fan base and the ones that come out and support you on Sunday afternoons and you know, by you have to. You just have to be in the community, and you have to rub shoulders with them, and you have to show them that you're real and you know, that you're working hard every single day and you're putting your best foot forward and you understand that, and you know exactly how they feel, and you try to structure the guy. You bring the guys into the building that you want to help you win a lot of football games with.
Now, will this kind of personality come through in press conferences? One of the things that Chip Kelly never did was patronize the press, and in turn, his message didn't get to the fans, and the fans felt like they were left out. Is a press conference important in that respect?
I think it is. I think, you know, you get into a press conference, and obviously you're not going to reveal everything. You're not going to reveal injuries. You're not going to reveal, you know, whether it be a trade or someone being released. You're not, those types of things don't have to go into a press conference, but you have to be real. You have to be honest. You got to be transparent. So, yeah, I mean, you go into a press conference with that mindset and, you know, take what they give you.
We're talking to Doug Peterson, head football coach of the Eagles. Now, Doug, you know, a lot was made at your initial press conference that, you know, you weren't the first choice, and you answered it properly. You said it doesn't really matter. You're here now. But also, it comes with a pressure, I think, to win right away if there's a perception out there that you're not the first choice. Do you feel that right away?
That I'm not the first choice?
No. Do you feel that you have to then convince people by winning that you are a worthy choice right away?
I don't necessarily think so. I think, first of all, this is a good football team. You know, this is not a rebuilding football team. There's tremendous talent here, and you know, I think just getting these guys focused, getting them on the same page, working hard every day. It sounds cliche, but that's exactly what you do. I just came from a place where we turned the culture of the organization around. We turned the culture of the community around. And you know, 2 out of the 3 years we're in the postseason. So, you know, it can be done. We obviously have in my opinion, we've got a little bit better talent here, and I'm looking forward to working with these guys.
In hiring your staff, you obviously went for a lot of guys that have played in the league. I guess that was by design, and you went with a very experienced defensive coordinator, which is what Andy had when he was here. Was that part of your master plan?
Oh, exactly. You know, first-time head coach, I wanted as much experience on really both sides of the ball, but particularly defense. And Jim Schwartz has got he's got head coaching experience. He's a guy that I can bounce a lot of ideas off of and lean on if need be. And you know, he's obviously been a fine defensive coordinator. I've coached against him, you know, in the National Football League. So, you know, experience was something that I was looking for, particularly on that side of the ball.
Now, your detractors have put out that you haven't coached that long and all that stuff. Those things are evident. But what do you think you do well right now as a head coach? Your experience, I was reading a story about your high school experience, and you were kind of relating it to you being in charge there. You just have to take it up a couple of notches to do it on an NFL level.
Well, exactly. I mean, the one thing about being a coach in the NFL, I mean, you got to be a teacher first. You got to be able to sell and teach and teach fundamentals and you know, I think that's one of my strengths. I think being a former quarterback in this league and watching a lot of guys and being behind a lot of guys and seeing how they operate has given me, you know, that leg up in this situation. And you know, the beauty of it is, you know, having guys that buy into your system, that buy into your program, that they know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to bat for them, and you know, they'll play for you through thick and thin. They'll play for you. They'll hang together. But at the end of the day, you know, making these players better on a daily basis and teach them something that they already that they don't know. Allow them to get better. Allow them to grow in your offense and defense and you know, put them in the best possible situation on game day.
I don't have to remind you, you have a major situation at quarterback. And I know you can only talk so much about it, but if you're planning to win right away, the chances of winning with Sam Bradford are a lot better than winning with somebody you take as a rookie quarterback or even a backup quarterback or somebody you bring in from Kansas City. A lot of people say you're fancy on Chase Daniel. You have Mark Sanchez here. Can you enlighten us at all on the Sam Bradford situation?
I just think that's the most important position on the football field. I just think that's your leader of your team. It's the face of your franchise. Everything is going to run through the head coach and the starting quarterback. And you know, free agency doesn't start for a little over a month now. And you know, we've got time. You know, and we're going to evaluate that position. And at the end of the day, we're going to have the right guy for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know, that's just the way we're going to approach it.
Is the price an impediment to your evaluation of Sam Bradford as the starting quarterback here?
The price?
The price it's going to cost you.
Oh, I mean, you got to take all the factors into consideration. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's all part of having a top quality quarterback is obviously, you know, look around the league, look at the guys that are in the Super Bowl this weekend, and you can't tell me that price wasn't a factor there either. But you know, that's all part of the evaluation process.
All right. So what you're saying is, even though you'd be better possibly with Sam Bradford,
don't put words in my mouth.
Well, I'm just kind of like, you know, he's the more experienced quarterback. If I'm a first year head coach, I'd want the more experienced quarterback to be my quarterback so I can win right away, which you're saying you think you can right away. So what would the price overrule your football mentality as it involves the quarterback?
You know, at the end of the day, when this thing's all said and done, we are going to have the best quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I can't tell you if price is going to be a factor. I can't tell you what Sam's agent is telling him. I don't know that.
Are you willing to pay going rate?
Are you... What's the going rate?
Well, the going rate, you know, the going rate's about $19 million a year, or you can franchise them for more than that.
Well, you can. You can. And you know, that's something that we have to look at as we go forward.
All right. I'm not going to crack you on that, am I?
I don't think so.
All right. What is your offense going to be like? Because a lot of people look at this team now and they go, okay, they're going to simplify things, and they deserve to simplify things. Schwartz will run a 4-3 where you have talent to run a 4-3. You have a running back that was barely used last year. You can make it a run-centric offense just like you ran it in Kansas City. Is that the way you think you're going to go next year?
I think that's a starting point, yeah. I think that's a starting point. I think you can't put yourself in a box like that. I don't think you can just say, I'm going to be this or I'm going to be that. I think what you have to do is once you get your players in here this spring and you really see who you have, I think then and only then can you determine the course of action that allows your players to play fast on Sunday. Our offense changed every year in Kansas City. And finally in year three, we got to where we were comfortable with who we are and the talent that we had, and it took some guys coming and going to make that possible. So, you know, I'm not going to put ourselves in a box right now, and I'm going to keep it open for discussion.
You said you're going to run a hybrid. It's not going to be purely West Coast offense. That you guys have run a hybrid. What does that mean exactly?
I don't think there's really the West Coast. When you think of the West Coast offense, it's two back, it's downhill runs, a lot of tight ends. You know, nowadays it's more spread offenses. There's bunches and clusters. There's a lot of moving parts. The quarterbacks are a little more dynamic. They have the ability to run, you know, zone read game. They can flip it to the perimeter, much like you're seeing in the college game. So that was never a West Coast staple. Those are things that have evolved because of your personnel. So, you know, and those are the things that we did and very comfortable with that. And I think the talent here offensively, especially out of the system that they just came from, lends itself to continue down that path.
Talking to Doug Peterson. Doug, what's the biggest impact that Andy Reid provided to you from working under him?
I think the biggest thing was, one, be yourself, and number two, you know, be honest. Be transparent with the guys. Build relationships in the building. Don't isolate yourself from anybody. And you know, I think that was the biggest thing that Coach Reid shared with me during this process.
There are a lot of things in Philadelphia that Andy Reid scares people here, and one of them is time management. And he even joked about that after the game. And that also impacted you, and you gave an answer during your press conference about that final drive and why it took so long. You do realize the Philadelphia fans here are very sensitive about that time management thing, right?
I get it.
You get it. All right, now, in giving that answer at that press conference, would you like to go back and kind of re-explain what you were trying to say there? Because, frankly, it was a little confusing what your answer was on why that last drive was so slow.
What did I say?
Well, you said you didn't want to give Tom Brady the ball back.
Who would want to give Tom Brady the ball back?
Yeah, but you also had a two-touchdown deficit, and you had to score as quickly as possible.
And we had timeouts in our pocket.
Yeah, so
you had time and timeout. So that's what you want at the end of a football game.
I get it, but what's wrong with scoring quickly and still preserving those timeouts?
Yeah.
You can run a hurry up offense, still score, and preserve the timeouts, and then try to get the ball back by kicking it long, and then chances are they're not going to pass, and you get the ball back in midfield on a punt.
We also had a false start at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, I get that, but you see what I'm talking about here. If you play it conventionally, you can still get the ball back, probably at midfield, and it'll be easier to score the second touchdown.
Yeah, you're going to get the ball back. We had about a minute and 13, minute and 15 with a couple of timeouts in your pocket to go 50 yards.
Well, that's not bad.
And, you know, the beauty of it is you learn and you move on.
Okay, so you would not have revised that answer you gave at the press conference?
No. No, because in those situations, head coaches evaluate those situations, coordinators evaluate those situations, and we sat there on Sunday morning, we evaluated it, and we said, you know what? We'd have done the same thing. And then I take that now, and I learn from it, and I move forward.
All right. That's your answer. The last question I got to ask you is the camp. You were asked that question at your press conference. You said you liked having the camp here, but there are a lot of fans out there that felt disenfranchised when they moved it from Lehigh, and a lot of people think that's a really good bonding experience to go away. What have you changed your thoughts on that, or has there been any more discussion on where training camp will be held?
Well, the one thing that I like the fact that the training camp was here. I also like the fact that we can put 45,000-50,000 people over there at the link, and they can come watch training camp.
Yeah, but only a couple of times.
And you can do that. You can do it a couple of times. You can do it as often as you like. But you know, the thing is, you do what's best. I, again, that's all part of the evaluation. I do like the thought that the training camp was here. Our offices are here. Some coaches like to go away. It's a little more isolated, and there's some solitude there, but. You know, the fact that you don't have to pack up your office and move it is also a benefit to, you know, just staying in one spot. So, again, all part of the process. No decisions are made yet, but
all right, it sounds like to me you're in favor of having it here, but loosening up so fans would have a little more access to your practices than they had before there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and there's also, you just got to take everything into consideration. Listen, I know that space is limited. You know, select group of people can come to our training camp practices. I also know that you can open up the link and anybody can come watch your training camp practice. Do that a couple of times. You got the preseason games, you know, and you become very accessible to the fans.
You lived in Philadelphia here before. What did you like most living in Philadelphia about?
Number one, I love the people. There's some great people here. We still have great friends back in from 1999 that we stay in touch with. Even when I coached here a couple years ago, great people here, great, great passionate fan base. Love the food. The food is tremendous. You know, not only the cheesesteaks, but the Italian food is unreal.
It's not Cajun food now, you know.
Well, I understand that, but you can always have that flown in. I mean, that's okay. Shrimp travel.
Douglas, it's been a pleasure talking. Good luck to you, and I know you got some big shoes here, and a lot of work to do before we get to the NFL draft. So good luck to you. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, there is Doug Peterson today with Mikey Miss. We'll open up the phone lines right now at 610-632-0975. Awful lot to react to from that. Six or seven big themes and issues and concepts that we're in there. Jump in. We'll get to you. Phone calls, you know, till 7 o'clock tonight. We've got Flyers hockey versus Montreal at 7. But again, anything you heard, big or small there, what jumped out at you? What grabbed your attention? What got you going in a positive way or a negative way based on what you heard? Hop in. 610-632-0975. All right. First thing, and it happened at a couple different times, but it really happened at the very end there. I don't know if you noticed it. Devon was joking with me about it. I noticed it also. Dude sounds like Andy Reid. I mean, it's like there is a method to how he speaks that I swear to God sounds like Andy Reid. It's weird. It's like the cadence of how he delivers stuff to you. And then even the food joke and all that, it actually sounds like Andy Reid. All right, whatever. Take it for what it's worth. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. Devon and I, that jumped out to both of us. 610-632-0975. Generally speaking, generally speaking, I thought Doug Peterson did well. I thought he came off pretty good. I thought he had pretty good command. I thought he was relatively impressive, generally speaking. Now, the one disaster answer, and it's just, come on, dude. You got to do better than this. The whole time management thing. Quote, who would want to give Tom Brady the ball back? You know? He also has this thing where he talks about, well, you know, we're going to get the ball back with a minute to a minute and 15 seconds to have to go 50 yards. Well, that's if you stop them on their first set of downs after you score the touchdown to get you within seven. That's all predicated on them not getting a first down. I remember the Eagles-Saints playoff game from 2006. Yeah, it's no problem to give the other team the ball, but you got to get the ball back. Deuce McAllister had three runs for a first down, and the Eagles didn't get the ball back. So the whole thing's faulty in the way he is thinking about it. And then, you know, just the whole concept where he said time and timeouts, quote, what you want at the end of a football game. No, it's not what you want at the end of a football game. You want to have more points than the other team. That's what you want to have at the end of a football game. When you're down by 14, you have to have a sense of urgency. Okay? When you're down by 14 with limited time left, the whole answer makes no sense. I can only hope, okay? I can only hope that he's continuing to, for lack of a better way to put it, cover for his guy Andy Reid. I just got to hope that he's covering for Andy Reid. Because if he actually believes some of that nonsense, I mean, that that would be outrageous. We'll file that one under the category of we'll find out someday based on what he does, I guess. Because if he believes that, that would be insane. 610-632-0975. Now, something to me that was a very meaningful message in there. Quote, this is a good football team. Quote, not a rebuilding football team. Quote, tremendous talent. Now, a guy that comes in is almost never going to, you know, give you the Brett Brown lines from 3 years ago about what a long process it's going to be. Because obviously the Sixers took on a unique challenge and a unique path, and they chose it. And very few organizations, if any, ever have, you know, obviously chosen a path like that. So it's not like the Eagles or any team in the NFL would be on any wavelength like that. But I don't think Doug Peterson would have gone to the lengths he went to say this is a good football team, tremendous talent, if he didn't believe some of that. I don't. And again, this is where you kind of get into conjecture just based on how you perceive it. And you may perceive one thing and I may perceive a different thing. I mean, that's just the way these situations work out. But I got the impression that he's kind of full systems go to believe they can win out of the gate. And, okay, well, we'll see if you can. I mean, it clearly, I think, blows up the concept of massive rebuild and stripping it down and all that stuff that people have talked about. Now, the Bradford thing, though, and this is what there's a little bit of on the flip side, though. While we have to be very careful about how we interpret what he said about Bradford, because let's be real, he was guarded, he was close to the vest, he was obviously looking to not tip his hand. The way I interpreted it, what he said, was not really in the realm of him all about, no matter what, having Sam Bradford back. I heard a guy that, we got time, you know, he used that one, we've got time. He talked about how the quarterback position is the most important position in the NFL, which it obviously is. Double-edged sword. Is his meaning, I need a better quarterback than I otherwise could get on the open market, therefore I need Bradford because he's better than Brian Hoyer? Or when he says that it's the most important position and he uses the phrase, we'll have the right guy for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then when he came back a second time, he said, quote, we'll have the best quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Is he actually thinking about more over the horizon? The Donovan McNabb path of, hey, listen, it's not about 1998 or 1999. It's about trying to find the guy that can be a guy for a decade. You know, when he said most important position in football. Well, on one hand, that says, well, I'd rather have the 16th best quarterback than the 32nd best quarterback or the 25th best quarterback. But on the other hand, I'm hearing, man, maybe the guy wants to shoot for the moon and try to find a way, you know, by not having the 16th best QB, by trying to find a path in future years toward a guy that actually is more legit. And obviously there are plenty that are more legit than Bradford. Not available right now, but there's half the league's better than Sam Bradford. So interpret that as you want. I liked what he said about understanding the passion of the fan base, the community, showing them that you're real. I thought that was good. I thought his explanation of what type of team, stylistically, offensive formation and even defense, but he was talking about the offense at the time that you want to be. I thought that was good. He based it on having to see what players you have, obviously after the draft and free agency. He referred to it as seeing the type of team you have in the spring. I thought that was great. It's the exact opposite of Chip. Exact opposite of Chip. So I was generally speaking impressed with Peterson. Thought he had good command, but again, not perfect. He also had one potentially disastrous answer that we'll round back to in time if it becomes an issue. When he fell back on the Jeffrey Lurie thing of, you know, how Lurie raised his hand at that press conference indicating that he's got final say on personnel. It's like, dude, that ain't going to fly. That ain't cool. That's not the way it works. We don't want Harold Katz, you know, running the show in Philadelphia again. You can't have that. Cannot have that kind of stuff. So I will guess that he was unprepared to answer that question, but I'll actually guess that they are not yet fully in tune with what their answer is going to be because they're not yet fully in tune with what their model is going to be, and that's a problem. They got to get that figured out. Let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. We kick it off with Kyle in Northeast Philly. Kyle, what's going on, man?
Going tonight, man.
Kyle, how are you, man?
All right, man. All in all, man, I really believe we're going to have a decent team this year, man. I mean, I know there's not a lot to go on. We don't know much of what he's really going to do. You know, he's cloaking a lot of the stuff he wants to say and can say he's limited. But I was a little disappointed at the way he explained the two-minute drill.
It was awful, awful, awful.
It was. I mean, it seemed more like he just doesn't want to admit that it was a goof on his part the way he responded. You know, to say that him and another mind like Andy Reid sat in a room together the next day and said it was okay, and yeah, we handled that the right way.
Yeah, that makes it even more troubling. I agree with you.
Right, I think he'd be better off saying, you know, I was feeling the pressure, or whatever. Make up some kind of excuse or explanation, say you didn't understand the question. You know,
listen.
But all in all, though, I am excited about this team next year. The Bradford thing, I think nobody's 100% either way. I think everybody's a little undecided. But it depends on the course they want to take with this franchise.
Yep.
If you want to strip it to the bone, rebuild it, you know, then you roll with Sanchez, which I don't think is a bad route, honestly. If they can run the ball effectively, we got three great running backs, get a couple of O-linemen and play defense, it might not be that bad of an idea.
Well, you know what?
In the future.
Well, I'll tell you this, Kyle. Thanks for the phone call. They're obviously not stripping it to the bone because otherwise they wouldn't sign Zach Ertz and Lane Johnson and mega deals. So they're definitely not stripping it to the bone. They may go somewhat, you know, in the middle. We'll see. But that's a big question. And the quarterback position ultimately determines a lot. All right, we rock all the calls next. 610-632-0975. You heard from the Eagles head coach. There was a lot in it. We'll continue to react. Again, Flyers hockey coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. 610-632-0975. Jump in. 610-632-0975. Jump in. We'll get to you. Jared Camera here, guys, and I want to tell you about the amazing people. So good at what they do. The best in the business. PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Are you or someone you know affected by problem teeth? Dr. Balshi, Dr. Wolfinger over there at PI Dental Center. They are board certified prosthodontists who have pioneered dental implant treatment and have changed the lives of thousands of people with cosmetic dental improvements. Patients, well, they travel across the country to have the PI team correct their so-called unsolvable dental problems. But you don't have to travel across the country. And I'm watching TV last night. I'm watching Bernie Sanders on TV. And I'm thinking, that guy's got to go to PI Dental Center. It's not the biggest treatment, but dude, get the teeth whitened. Next time you look at Bernie Sanders, think of PI Dental Center. They can help a lot of different types of people. And they're right here in our backyard in Fort Washington. If you or someone you know is embarrassed by their teeth, maybe experiencing an issue right now that needs to be taken care of, call Dr. Balshi, call Dr. Wolfinger, call the team at PI Dental Center. The best staff, incredibly helpful, very caring. They'll go over everything with you, including financial options. Call PI Dental Center today. Write the number down, 215-646-6334. That's 215-646-6334. Back with the calls next. Share the camera on the Fanatic.
We got the deals, and you need the wheels. Where? At Key of Westchester and Key of Coatesville. Right now, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for any trade. That's crazy! Drive home a new 2016 Kia Forte for just $12,990. And always remember, Jim Cipolla wants to see you in a Kia. Visit Key of Westchester or keyofcoatesville.com.
Qualified buyers plus tax and tag. Negative equity refinance. Dealer retains all factory rebates. Offers don't combine. Expires months end.
You wouldn't trust a butcher to babysit your pet pig. You wouldn't trust a lumberjack to repair your antiques. Or a professional wrestler to be your massage therapist. So why would you trust anyone but Amco to fix your car? For over 50 years, we've been the trusted experts in transmission repair. Check engine light on? We'll check it for free. Limited time offer. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See participating centers for full details. AA, MCO.
Attention taxpayers. If you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There are now government programs available to help you settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But these may be limited-time programs, so you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. 1-800-210-1209. That's 1-800-210-1209. When you call, you'll get free information from Federal Tax Relief. This free info can even help you if you have penalties, unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. Stop the collection process immediately. Call Federal Tax Relief today for free info at 1-800-210-1209. That's 1-800-210-1209. Call now. 1-800-210-1209.
This Valentine's Day, celebrate a love so sweet with a gift from Littman Jewelers. Discover new designs like the Love Ever Two-Stone Diamond. One diamond for your love, the other for your friendship. Treat her to heart pendants, colorful gems like pink topaz and rubies in deep red, or an engagement ring for your one true love. And the cherry on top? You can save 35% or more on Valentine's Day gifts. Stop by today or visit littmanjewelers.com.
Valentine's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing deal. 100 stunning blooms of love, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. And this week only, we will also include chocolates for free. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5000. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings, plus pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms of love sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days. That's 100 stunning blooms of love, a free glass vase, and free chocolates this week only for just $19.99. And this incredible offer expires this Friday. Valentine's Day is next week. Don't wait. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 5000. That's proflowers.com, secret code 5000.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 33.
At the Home Depot's Build a Better Kitchen and Bath event, get a Pfister Pasadena 4-inch center set bath faucet for the new lower price of just $79. So let's up our upgrade. With an elegant Tuscan bronze finish, this faucet really opens the tap and lets your bathroom flow with style. Let's do this. Pfister Pasadena 4-inch bronze faucets, just $79. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, valid through March 26th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Giving your car a tune-up is like giving it a yearly physical, and AutoZone has everything you need to get the job done right, without the weird hospital smell. With new spark plugs, filters, oil, and helpful advice, AutoZone can keep your car running healthy and strong. With our help, you can always fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Rev up your tax refund with a tune-up and get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy four or more Autolite Iridium XP spark plugs. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hey, sports fans, the big game is here, and it's time to get into the action. MyBookie.lv, an industry-leading website, has more odds and props than anyone else online. Have a hunch on who's going to win the coin toss or what color Gatorade the winning coach will be wearing? Log on now. Check out the odds and get into the action. Are you a winner? Put your money where your mouth is. Don't just watch the bowl. Get some skin in the game and be a part of it. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business. Guaranteed. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Call now, 844-900-2387, or visit MyBookie online. Don't miss out on the biggest game of the year. Call 844-900-2387 or log on to MyBookie.lv. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Steven Singer Jewelers. Get your exclusive 24-karat gold-dipped roses. One place, one price. IHateStevenSinger.com.
All right, Joe to camera, 97.5, The Fanatic. Doug Peterson, we heard from him on with Mike today. It's funny, sounded a lot to me like Andy Reid, and we've talked about that. Mike Jarrett just texted me from Fox 29 saying he thought he sounded like Ruben Amaro, which I actually agree. I just went back and listened to it more during the commercial break, and there is a lot of Ruben in there. It's weird, man. It's like part Andy Reid, part Ruben Amaro. We got a couple pieces of audio. We'll play that in a second. But let's get some calls going. 610-632-0975. Mark in Newtown. Mark, what's going on, man?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Mark, how are you?
Good. I was just talking to your producer, and I said the exact same thing about Ruben.
It was weird, man, wasn't it?
Oh, Tony, it sounds exactly like him.
It's the sound. Yeah, the sounds. I think his cadence is like Reed. His cadence is Reed, but his actual sound is Ruben.
Yeah, he's got that Ruben twang.
Yeah, he does.
So a couple things about Peterson. I like the fact, kind of like the fact, that he was getting a little ticked off at Mike at a couple of points, because I'm afraid that the guy's complete milquetoast, and he showed a little bit of, like, I don't know, fire.
Absolutely.
When he was talking to Mike.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, no, don't put words in my mouth. I agree. Totally.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing was, this... You're talking about him doing like a complete rebuild. This notion in the NFL that the notion that any team in the NFL has time for a complete stripped out rebuild is completely false. Particularly in Philadelphia, there's fans and the media will not tolerate, particularly with a coach like Doug Peterson who's brand new, and everybody's skeptical to begin with. They're not going to give him the time to do something like that.
Well, Mark,
let me
Yeah, let me tell you where I disagree. I don't think it's about time, because I think if presented to people actually could I think people would sign off. I think the issue is not time. I think that it's not practical. What makes what the Sixers are doing more practical, quote unquote, is that it's based on a league that has five players on the court, and if you get, you know, two dominant ones, you're in good shape. The NFL is based on 22 starters. It's just not practical to do the full teardown. Doesn't make any sense.
But that's what I mean. But some people keep talking about it like that it would ever come to that. He doesn't have – it won't work. It's not something that you do in the NFL. He's got to go out and within the next 2 years put a very viable team on the field that's going to win 9 or 10 games, or else he's history.
I agree. No, listen, Mark, I agree with you. It's a great phone call. I totally agree. I mean, he might get year three, because year three, you know, often you get, but you're not going to get past year three. I agree with that. If you don't have some success, there's no way you get a year four. All right, let's hear from Peterson. First, I want you to just put yourself in the mindset of what Ruben Amaro sounded like. And ultimately, we'd have to get an actual side-by-side comparison, which I don't think we have right now. But just listen to the way he speaks and the sound of what he says. And it does sound like Ruben Amaro. Here's Peterson.
And, you know, he's obviously been a fine defensive coordinator. I've coached against him, you know, in the National Football League. So,
you know, experience was something that that I was looking for, particularly on that side of the ball.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. But I definitely, and again, Jarek just texted me that, and I agree with him. It does sound, it really does. It sounds like Ruben Amar. Now, here are parts, though, where his manner of speaking, not perhaps the actual sound, but the cadence, the method of how he goes word to word. This is some Andy Reid. Here's three different Andy Reids for you. First one's real short.
First of all, this is a good football team.
I mean, I can just see, because, you know, Reid would always have his stuff, but then when he wanted to kind of just get down to it, he'd get very, very direct and specific on something like that. I could definitely hear Andy Reid saying that and saying it that way. All right, here's the next one. I don't even remember what it is, but here's, again, this is more of a Reid type thing. And again, he might sound like Ruben, but it's a Reid method of speaking.
The one thing about being a coach in the NFL, I mean, you got to be a teacher first. You got to be able to, you got to be able to sell and teach and teach fundamentals. And you know, I think that's one of my strengths.
And of course, what would be an Andy Reid, a little Andy Reid, if you will, if not for the food joke, which was always a staple of Andy Reid?
You know, not only the cheesesteaks, but the Italian food is unreal.
Yeah, it's not Cajun food now, you know.
Well, I understand that, but you can always have that flown in. I mean, that's okay. Shrimp, hey, shrimp travel.
Oh, man. 610-632-0975. Part Reid, part Ruben. Unbelievable. I'm sure we'll get some side-by-sides in future shows. In general, I thought Peterson did well. The answer about the clock management was bad, but in general, I thought he did well. Let's go to Gino on a cell phone. Gino, what's going on, man?
Hey, Joe. Gino from Springfield, Virginia. The guy that hung the Eagles thing upside down, he told me to straighten out, and I did. I'm all happy now because Chip Kelly left.
How about that?
Anyway, only thing I want to mention, number one, I love your show.
Thank you.
It's great listening to it on the way home from work. But the one thing that stuck out to me more than anything else was the way that he, you could feel it, and I felt this, that there's going to be, he's going to build relationships, he's going to work with the people.
I agree.
Building up, you're going to see teamwork, and I felt like, you know, the Dawkins era when everybody's together and there's like excitement on the sidelines. I feel like that was the big thing that stuck out to me, that this guy is going to build relationships and he's going to make it fun again. And when we're looking at the sidelines, you're not going to see Chip, you know, sticking his tongue out and the players just moping around. So I think that's a real positive thing, and that's all I wanted to add.
Gino, you know, I appreciate the call and the kind words, and I agree with you. I definitely heard a coach that wants to build relationships. I agree. Peter in South Jersey, and lead people. Peter, what's going on, man?
Hello.
Yo, Pete.
Yeah, I don't think you can evaluate Peterson based on that clock management at the end of the game. That's all on Andy. That can't be on him. They're both smart guys, but Peterson is not going to throw his old boss under the bus.
Well, I tended to think that 100% before this interview. The part where he talks about them being together on the Sunday, you know... If he really believes that, that's a break.
The NFL coaches, that's a club. Once you get into that club, you don't want to get out. The example I use is Mangini, who left and shafted Belichick, went to the Jets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do well there, went further downhill, goes to San Francisco, and we fire Chip Kelly. And who's the first guy Chip Kelly fired?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, because Chip's got the relationship with Belichick, yep.
You know, but the whole thing is you got to maintain those, and they get a lot of information out of those relationships and go in all these meetings as well. So it's just not, and that happens in business as well, not just the NFL. You just don't do that.
But here's the one, and I don't disagree with you, Peter. I appreciate the call, but here's the one thing I would say that I think slices through that a bit. There is a way, and it's not easy, but it certainly can be learned and applied. There is a way to give a little bit without. In this instance, you know, rolling the bus over Andy Reid, where you just take a step back, you say, you know, you laugh a little bit, say, look, hey, Mike, come on now. That was a frustrating loss for us. We're obviously not happy about the way we lost at the end. You know, we wish things had worked out different. There's been a lot said about it. I understand why. In the end, we lost a football game. And, hey, listen, it's going to be for, you know, my responsibility to make sure the Philadelphia Eagles are always ready to go. And that's the way I approached it in the past. And now as the head coach of the Eagles, that's the way I'll approach it in the future. And then you hope the guy asking the questions kind of moves on. I mean, there's a way to do it. I'm telling you, there's a way to do it. And Peterson's method today was not the way to do it. But, you know, for the most part, he acquitted himself, I thought, very well, and sounded like he had some command. All right, a couple quick programming notes. Tomorrow, Mikey Miz broadcasting from the Philadelphia Auto Show. That's 2 to 6 tomorrow. You can learn more about the auto show by visiting PhiladelphiaAutoShow.com for all the details. Also tomorrow, Jaws and I broadcasting from San Fran. Site of Super Bowl 50. We'll be out there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Jaws, Adam Kaplan, and I doing shows the rest of the week from San Francisco. We'll have great interviews and just get the whole thing revved up over the next couple of days with coverage leading up to Super Bowl 50. Have a great rest of the evening. Thanks to Devon for producing the show. Flyers hockey is next versus Montreal. Talk to you tomorrow night from the West Coast, from San Fran at 6 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
First of all, this is a good football team.